Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ancient Anime, your favorite, hopefully favorite podcast about old anime. I don't know how many there are, so I really have to put an asterisk next to that because I'm really not sure. But anyway, we are here today because I watched a bunch of fighting game anime, and we're going to talk about some of it now and some of it later. Joining me today is my friend for quite a while now, Rika. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay, and that's all you can say for the rest of the podcast. I'm just going to keep talking.
No,
I'm
just kidding. Wow.
But no, I've been bugging Rika for a long time to come on here. Like, basically when I was still planning this out. So I started planning this out, like, summer of 2021. It just takes me forever to do stuff. But she's finally here, thankfully, on the podcast. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, I guess, like your interest in what you do and how weird you are, I guess.
Yeah, I am weird. I guess I'll just say this because, you know, whatever. But I am trans female, you know, she, her, and all that stuff. Yeah, I like toku, Japanese music, miku, and stuff, and yeah, video games. And I like fighting games, but only like on a casual level. I suck at them. So part of the reason why I wanted to do the Fatal Fury stuff, so. Yeah,
you say you suck at fighting games, but then you just sit there and corner somebody and spam the same move so they can't move.
That's not the same thing. You know, it's not my problem.
Yeah,
you know,
it's my problem and I don't like it.
Hey, it works on that's a really good tactic if you actually play like Fatal Fury. The bots are very dumb.
Oh my god. Is it like on Xbox or PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
Like on the marketplace,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, SNK, they re-released their stuff ever since like games became digital. They've always done it. It was all on the Wii. They did it back they've done it for a long time. They were always really, really good about this stuff. You can buy everything. Even recently they did SNK versus Capcom. It's only for the Neo Geo Pocket Color, which is like the Game Boy, but that was like really like, oh. We didn't think they were ever going to re-release those games. That was kind of a weird thing. So, but they're trying to do everything.
I don't have a lot of experience with the Fatal Fury games. I know I played them a little bit, but I was much more of a Capcom fighting kid. Like, I was really big into Darkstalkers. Recently, I've been playing the crap out of Red Earth. Warzard is the Japanese title, which I absolutely love. It's so stupid.
It's like Wizard. But not. It's Wizard, but War. Yeah, War.
Warzard.
Yeah.
It has a buff furry in it, so I was destined to play it at some point.
I know.
But that Capcom Fighting Collection came out, and I've been playing that a lot in between my other two games that I only play, which is Overwatch and Fortnite. Don't judge me for playing Fortnite. I'm not 12, I promise.
I also played this game, so don't judge me either. Well, you can, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to judge you.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I've been playing Street Fighter Alpha 2. Or not Alpha 2, Alpha 1.
Alpha as well.
Yeah, Alpha as there. Better speaking. I just like a lot of those games. Like I didn't really grow up. When it came to fighting games, the fighting game I played was like Dragon Ball Budokai 1, 2, and 3, the Digimon Rumble Arena series, and like Ultimate Ninja. Not real actual fighting games. It was in high school. That they had like the PlayStation Store and they had all the old games, and that's when I really started to get into a lot of this stuff. Like Pocket Fire was one I really liked. I really like, I'm slowly learning things, so even back then I was like, how do I do core circle? How do I do this? This is really confusing. So, you know,
this is going to shock everybody, but my fighting game of choice when I was young was Bloody Roar. I know that's a huge shock to everybody, but I was a big Bloody Roar fan.
You never brought that up once. But I haven't played it
in a long time because I don't know if they've released a new one in a very long time. But when I was a kid on the PlayStation 1, like, that was one of the two games that I ever, like, not ever played, but would always play. Like, it's one that I would always go back to. And we would have, like, when we had sleepovers with friends and stuff, we would stay up to, like, 2 a.m. just beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, I played 1, 2, and 3, I think. I know the one for, I think the best one to win for GameCube. That was like a really cool anime opening. But it only went to 4 and then the GameCube game.
Yeah, I didn't have a GameCube until like the very end of the life cycle of it, so I didn't have the GameCube one. I just had like Wind Waker. That was it.
I mean, I just didn't really, like, I didn't play, I love Wind Waker, but I didn't really play a lot of fighting games like that. Like, I remember, because when I really started getting into fighting games when I was in high school, the big stuff was all the Marvel vs. Capcom, BlazBlue, like, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, that game was amazing. And I remember when I was playing it, I was, like, trying to press a button to do a super, because I played all those dumb anime games that weren't actual fighting games. I did not understand. I was like, how do I do this? I'm confused. But that's where I really got into it. You know, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. I remember BlazBlue.
I was really big into the first Blaze. I say BlazBlue. I don't know if it's BlazBlue.
BlazBlue. I don't know.
Blaze just sounds cooler, so I guess that's why I say that. But I was really big into the first game, and then like they just kept pumping them out a lot faster than I had an attention span for. But I love the characters. Like, I really like Noelle Vermillion and Bang Shishigami. Bang is husbando material for sure, and Noelle is waifu material for sure.
Yeah, but it's a thing to where, like, when it comes to fighting games, especially back in the day, they would always release new versions. Nowadays, like, a fighting game can last for 3 years. They just don't release a new, like, with BlazBlue, they released, like, you'd have the first one, then Extend would have, like, two new characters, maybe, and some other, or maybe three, four, around there, and they would release a couple other things, but it's still, like, the arcade mode or story mode would be the same. So that's how they were releasing so many games. That back then, they didn't really do DLC.
BlazBlue did DLC, because I remember getting really, really mad, because I had the first game, and they released like three or four DLC characters for the first game, because I know for sure the Squirrel Girl was one of them, because I really liked her. She was a DLC character. And then, like, as soon as they finished their, like, season pass DLC, whatever, like, releasing the characters in order, they released the second game, and all those characters were in the base game. And I was so pissed, because I spent a lot of money, because the deal, it was, like, $5 per character. So I spent, like, $30 when I could have just bought the new game and just had them all and had them the new story and everything.
Maybe. I don't remember that. I bought the games because I really wanted to play the story mode. I don't remember that.
I very vividly remember it, because I bought BlazBlue on release day, because I walked in like a week before and saw a poster for it, and I thought it was an RPG, didn't question it or anything, I just reserved it, and then when I got it and found out it was a fighting game, I was really pissed, but I really liked the characters, and what was the blue guy's name? Oh god. The guy with the sword, he's one of the main characters, I can't think of his name, but
it's not Kai Kisuke, that's
Gil. Is it Jin?
The one that's obsessed over his brother and wants to kill him, but also love him.
Yeah. Yeah. He had this move where he said, die, dissipate. And that's the only move I knew how to do. So, like, I was just going around saying, die, dissipate for, like, days and days on end.
Wait, you said RPG. The story mode is kind of an RPG. It's really, like, I guess more like a visual novel. But the story mode has, like, all these different paths. Like, the story mode, that was kind of, like, really unique. I mean, it literally has a visual novel, like, not a fighting game. There's actually, like, a visual novel that's, like, completely, it's not separate, but, yeah, it's whatever.
It was really cool, because a lot of the characters that you saw became playable in later games, like the little kid that uses the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
His dad is a playable character in one of the later games, but he was in the story for the first game, because I remember thinking that he looked really cool. He had a mask on. I referenced that in my notes for Fatal Fury the movie, because there's a character that has a very similar mask to him, and I was like, what the hell is going on in here on this day?
But yeah, I think that was an extend. That was like the updatey version that he was. I think that was the main thing that they added that one. I could be wrong.
I like BlazBlue a lot, but it's I just fighting games are just very difficult for me, and there I remember that my roommate was also playing it at the same time, and he was much better at fighting games than I was.
Yeah.
And he spoiled the secret ending where you find out that the guy with the fedora is actually the main bad guy. Because if you get the bad ending, because you're crap like me, then you don't find out he's the villain. But if you get the good ending, you find out he's the villain, and he spoiled that for me. And I was so angry
I
for a
forgot
long
that
time.
I forgot that was a twist at some point.
Yeah, and in the first game, he appears. He's not a playable character, and you only fight him if you get to the good ending. But like, as far as I remember, anyway, I could be completely wrong. But like, he's in the story, and he appears in basically everybody's storyline. So I knew he was important in some way. But
Yeah.
yeah,
Well, back to Fatal Fury.
you are not the flagship of this podcast. I say back to Fatal Fury. Back to Fatal Fury. This is my show.
I was just gonna. I guess I just want to talk about Fatal Fury a bit more. I think there was three. Yeah, there's Fatal Fury 1, 2. They call it Fatal Fury Special, but it's actually 2 Special. I don't know why they don't include the 2 in it. Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Then you have the Real Battle series was kind of like it was still pixel, but it was like way later and it looked a lot nicer. And then they had. I think they had the weird PS2 games. A lot of those games are really weird and
Was that when they
very
did
like.
like Moon of the Garou or whatever?
No, oh no, that's Mark of the Wolves. That's different. Garou, Mark of the Wolves. That was like Third Strike time, like Street Fighter Third Strike. It was at the end of like all that before they went to like 3D. No, the PS2 games were like 3D weird and like. You know, it's like, do we like stay on a one plane or do we like move around? You know, they had no idea what they were doing. But they really dumb looking like 2,000 characters, like they look so dumb. Like they're the main character, they're trying to look cool, but they look so fucking dumb. But yeah, because yeah, those are the games. I was gonna say one more thing. Sorry, my mind just goes blank sometimes. But
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, but there's also yeah, Garou: Mark of the Wolves. I like that one because it has Rock Howard, because that's actually Terry adopts him as his son because he kills Geese. Spoiler, and I mean this is in the games, but he knocks Geese like off a tall building, and then he adopts Rock, and he's really cool. I'm glad they're doing a second one. I'm so excited. So
So, does Terry have any biological children?
I don't think so. No.
He's got to,
Maybe.
because in the spiritual successor show, Virus Buster Surge, which I will talk about on this podcast, FYI, there's a character named Makus Bogard. I said Beauregard. Makus Bogard looks exactly like him, so it couldn't be an adopted son because they're the exact same character design. It's just he wears like a military captain's hat instead of the red hat. But even there's even one point in the show, because I'm watching it right now, there's even one point in the show where he puts on a hat that looks exactly like Terry's, except it's black. Like it's black with the metal band going across the front, the Naruto Hidden Village band on it.
Yeah. I mean, Terry's had a lot of different hats. That's one of them. That's like one of the old colors. But yeah, he didn't have the Fatal Fury hat in this movie, did he? The one that says Fatal Fury on it. It's my favorite one.
No, it was just a blank, like a blank metal. Well, it was metal in the movie. In the OVAs, I think it was cloth because I think it was Krauser grabs his hat and like crumples it up, and it's like very obviously not metal. But it's shiny in the movie because there's like a glare off of it at one point. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, but I haven't played these games in a while. I know that the my memories of like the story of Fatal Fury really comes from the Real Bout series. It's kind of like the remakes kinda. And they really like had like really good story modes. And I just remember the most iconic thing from Fatal Fury is like Geese falls off a building. That's what it's kind of like in Tekken where everyone gets thrown off volcanoes for some reason. That's literally happened 3 different times in Tekken that someone throws someone off a volcano.
I was watching I when I in the intro when I said that we're watching a lot of fighting game anime, I wasn't kidding. For some reason, that's just what everybody wants to watch recently. But I watched a comprehensive video on Tekken. It was like this 2.5 hour long YouTube video just of this guy recapping the the actual canon story, because fighting games have a lot of non-canon endings depending on who you pick. But I watched this really long video, and I just died at how many times Heihachi Mishima just was like throwing people in volcanoes, throwing people off cliffs, into abysses.
Remember that time he attached everyone to a rocket and sent them flying?
He's just a psychopath, and I love him.
I love the good PlayStation All-Stars, if you remember that game. That's his like ultimate move, just sending everyone on a rocket.
Whoa, I'm on a rocket. No, we're not going there. We have... So, in this particular episode... because of the recent format changes, we're going to a bi-weekly format, or we're now on a bi-weekly format, I guess I should say, instead of a weekly like season one was. So season two is on a bi-weekly format so that we can watch more content and review more content in a single episode. I liked the format before, but it was very limiting because we could only watch short OVAs or movies. We couldn't watch full shows. And so... while technically, yes, these are short OVAs, we watched three of them, and the last one is actually, like, an hour and a half long. So the first two are, like, 40 minutes long, and the last one's an hour and a half long. So they equate to be pretty much a short series if you were to cut them up into episodes, like, probably 6 or 7 episodes. So it is still a lot more content than we previously covered. So we're covering the two OVAs and then the movie, which...
Yep.
I never really paid attention to the OVAs. I had the movie as a kid. I remember watching the movie. I remember being very confused because I was pretty young. I was probably like 8 or 9, so I wasn't old enough to know like sexuality stuff really. But I was very intrigued by how many muscular shirtless men there were. So the seeds were there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely there. But I actually have a really funny story that I'll get to in a minute. But like, I didn't know the OVAs existed because the movie does a fairly good job of catching you up, at least explaining enough to where the OVAs aren't required. But the movie is much better if you've seen the OVAs. So that's kind of why we wanted to talk about all three of them at the same time, because they all kind of fold into each other. They fall into each other.
Yeah, and the OVAs, I would say the movie's a lot more exciting, but I do like the OVAs because they do explain the stories pretty well. Like, so the first game, you only played with, like, 4 different characters. Like, you know, it was like Street Fighter 2. You know, they didn't have that many characters. It was literally, like, one of the first fighting games, kinda. And, like, there wasn't a lot of... like, you fight against different characters you can play as, but there weren't a lot of characters. So the first two are kind of, I would say, boring compared to the last movie. But actually, I think they do a good job, though, still. But there's even some characters that are into, you don't see till the movie even. So it kind of like, you know, but at the same time, because, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I felt like the first OVA was very rushed. It was good, but it was really rushed. The second OVA was nothing. Literally nothing happens until the last like 15 minutes of the film. And then the movie was kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
I have in my notes that the OVA 2 is Terry's flop era because he spent the entire movie being an alcoholic. He spent the whole movie just fucking drunk until the very end of the movie when he decided to get his shit together and, you know, fight Krauser.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in the second movie, he did have like that part with Geese. We realize he's still alive. But him being drunk was so... I didn't expect him to get drunk.
He was drunk for almost the entire movie. Like, the movie was almost more about Joe and... I'm forgetting Blue Hair's name.
Andy?
Andy, there we go. Joe and Andy was... And Boobs McGee. It was basically about them until the end when Terry decided to, you know, sober up and go kill the bad guy.
It's weird. Andy's hair was blue in the first one. Then they kind of made it a little better in the second one. Then it finally was normal color in the last movie. It's not supposed to be blue.
They do that in old anime sometimes. They just give characters weird hair colors for no reason. Like, the... I remember Saint Seiya, which it's not exactly a one to one because Saint Seiya was a black and white manga, and Fatal Fury was a game that had color. You could clearly see his hair wasn't blue, but like in the Saint Seiya anime, they gave people random like green and blue hair colors for no reason. It was just a thing that happened back then, and it was probably just to differentiate him enough from Terry for the people that didn't play the video games to make everybody as distinct as possible. Because you know, Joe wore very little clothing, praise the Lord, and had brown hair. And Terry was the big beefy blonde guy, and that just left, you know, him being the other blonde guy. So I understand why they did it, but most of the people that are watching this OVA were seeking out this OVA were probably fans of the game, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I know a lot of times it'd be because, like, this was early, like, arcade stuff too, so a lot of times artwork would look really different than, you know, the actual thing. And I think even sometimes the hair color would be kind of different for some reason. I know my looks, I was like, why does my look so different? But I look at the game, and that's how she looked back then. Nowadays, she looks kind of different, but that was actually really accurate to how they had her in the arcade version, at least. So
she just, like, sometimes it wasn't her fault, but she just couldn't keep her clothes on. Like she was very obviously there to have her boobs on display, and
it was really the movie. The movie went that way with everyone. You saw everyone's nipples. You saw all the people in Speedos, and
the second, I think it was the second OVA. Yeah, because she wasn't in the first OVA. That's right. The second OVA. There's one part where, like, she's in a fight and, like, her dress starts to get cut up and stuff. And I'm just like, why can't Terry's shirt get cut up? Why can't I see his man boobs? Why do I gotta see my tits? Like, this isn't fair. But then in the movie, we got Joe in a Speedo, so it was fine. I may or may not have taken 9 screen caps of that scene.
Here's the thing. You say that, but at the same time, that one scene where she gets her, like, coat, clothes cut up, whatever, I know the scene. But that didn't even, like, faze me as that, because I play way too many video games, like, horny video games like that. So, for me, that was, like, that's nothing.
Reminded me of, what is that anime called? I had the name in my head until just now. It's, like, a high school anime where it's just a bunch of, like, gangs that run the high school, and, like, some people have, like, dragon powers. Why can't I think of the name of it? But, like, it's got several seasons, and basically, their clothes are made out of, like, paper because they get punched once and, like, their entire freaking school uniform rips off of them.
Oh, Kill a Kill?
No, Ikki Tausen, that's it. Ikki Tausen.
Ikki Tausen?
Yeah, like, it's mostly girls. There's a couple of guys in the cast, but it's almost all girls. Oh, and every time they fight, even if there's no weapons, even if they just get punched, their, like, shirt will rip off. And I'm just like,
wait, come on
now.
I think I know that anime for a different reason.
It's got several seasons. Like they were really spaced apart for a while though, but it's just a very horny anime.
It looks kind of old, doesn't it?
Early 2000s.
Yes, that is. Yeah, because in Senran Kagura, which is literally that kind of game where clothes fall off or fly off and stuff, they're DLC characters. Which is funny.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, which is funny because one of the characters, it's a Dynasty Warriors type game, and a lot of these characters are named after Chinese dynasty, like Lu Bu and stuff. Like, that's funny. It kind of fits in. Lu Bu's in Senran Kagura, but not the one you want to see, probably.
The best Lu Bu is always going to be Record of Ragnarok. Best Lu Bu.
I haven't played or seen that.
It's an anime. It's a manga and an anime, but it's on Netflix. It's only 13 episodes. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. They're doing a second season next year, so yeah. I'm looking forward to it. But we're off topic again.
I was gonna say I haven't played the anime. Anyway, yeah, I guess we should just do like a small, like, let's just go through them kind of in order, kind of like not every detail, obviously, but
the first one is just like basically getting you introduced to as many people as they had at the time. And there's so many gay overtones in the first one. Like, it was unreal. Like, there's a part where Terry meets Joe for the first time.
Yeah.
And Joe invites him to his room for drinks. Like, he's like, you want to come back to my room and have some drinks? And I was like, that is not a heterosexual activity. Like, that is not something that two heterosexual men do together.
Yeah. But the main plot, the first one's basically just, you know, as a kid, Terry's dad gets killed, and then, you know, it was Geese Howard, and, you know, then it's all about revenge and all that shit, and, you know.
It was his adopted dad, wasn't it?
Yes. I think they're both adopted, yes. Which yeah, is actually both... kind of, I'd say that's interesting, because, you know, Geese kills his dad, who adopted them, right? They were adopted. But when he kills Geese, he adopts his son.
Because there was one part... Well, but you forgot the best part, which is the most ridiculous freaking video game part ever, which is... Oh, no, wait. It was after that. They started to get trained. Who was the one that says, return in 10 years and we'll see if you can kill me or something like that?
It was one of the two masters. What's funny, in the second one, I was like, didn't you die? I was like, oh, it's someone else. Oops.
All these old men look the same.
I didn't realize they're both playable, and I think it's Fatal Fury Special to both playable. Because yeah, like they're really similar. Why are they both playable?
Because you gotta have as many characters as that little cartridge can fit.
I guess so. But yeah, one of them is still. I was like, he dies? Because he's still like alive, and he's. I didn't know he was. Maybe he's not Terry's master in the game, but he's like a. He's like on a different team in King of Fighters. He's like still a character today. Because his move is spinning around, and it's like he becomes really huge. That's like a very iconic thing he does. I was surprised that Terry does that. I was like, but he doesn't do that in the game. Why is he doing that? That's not a thing he does. Okay.
And then we also meet Terry's girlfriend, love interest, person that he knew for 20 minutes before she died. Because spoiler alert, she dies.
Why does everyone he loves dies? He's so worried about that in the movie, and she dies. I'm like, ah!
It's not even like long time girlfriends. It's like he meets a girl and she's got like an instant death timer on her. Like 48 hours, she's gone.
I just hate. I hate that in the movie they're like, he's so worried about, you know, people he loves dying, and, you know, she Mai explains this to her. Right? And she ends up doing it anyway, and she dies. I'm like...
That's why Terry will always belong with Joe, because the curse didn't affect Joe. They did it, though.
I'm sorry. Terry is straight. Now, Andy, there's that part in, I think it was the last movie, where it's like, he did not... Basically, Mai was like, wanting him to get in bed. He did not get in bed.
I'm gonna go do some push-ups and sleep on the couch. And I'm like, that's not heterosexual.
You can't be straight and not want to get in bed with Mai, Shur, and I. No way.
Well, that moment. He spent the entire second OVA and the entire movie avoiding her or being uncomfortable around her when she gets clingy. Like, obviously didn't want the
I can understand. I mean, if he is gay, he would be uncomfortable around a woman who is, like, very revealing all the time.
My personal theory is that he really wanted Terry, because he was real in the first OVA. He was super obsessed with Terry,
because
he was in the first OVA. He was like almost like a sub villain almost, but then obviously Geese was the main villain, and they kind of joined forces after a little bit because they were rivals. I guess not villain, but rivals. But like, I feel like at one point in the movie, he realizes that he's never going to have Terry, and he just, like, takes Mai as, like, a consolation prize. Because,
I guess.
Like, he eventually caves in, and it's like, okay, you can be my girlfriend or whatever, towards the end of the first movie, or the movie.
Even when that happens, they kind of hug and stuff. I'm like, it just seems like they're friends. They really wanted to be like, well, they're in love now. I don't think they conveyed that to me at all. They didn't kiss. Well, they didn't do anything.
Gay marriage wasn't legal in Japan at the time, so he wanted to make sure that, you know, he had somebody to pass his belongings on to, so they just had a legal marriage.
Yeah.
No intercourse in there, and he still tries to hook up with Terry on the side.
Yeah. I think there's still problems with that, isn't there, nowadays? I know there's stuff going on. The other thing about Nintendo, like, we don't care. We're gonna support you guys anyway. I was like, thank you, Nintendo. You're cool. sometimes.
I don't know all the laws over there. I think that they can get married, but they don't have as much rights or something. I'm not really sure. I don't want to speak too much on that because I just don't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah, I just know a lot of companies are still like supportive of people anyway, and that's always cool. But anyway, that's off topic.
Yeah, so Terry's prostitute girlfriend dies, and he does not let you forget about it. She was a prostitute.
Wait, was she?
She was like the bell at this bar, this random bar, and she like said that she like Terry was her man for the night or something like that. Like I'm almost positive they were implying that she was a prostitute.
Yeah.
What else was she doing at that bar? She wasn't singing, she wasn't dancing, she literally just walked out in like a pretty outfit and all the guys started swooning over her and she jumped on Terry's penis, literally.
I guess. Another thing I was gonna say is that with the first two, what's your name? What is her name? Do we remember?
Lily.
Lily. Yeah, she is the original character. Which kind of, I mean, in a fighting game, you're not gonna have like she doesn't fight. So it makes sense that she wasn't really in that. I know sometimes they have characters like that in like the endings. But yeah, she was an original character. The kid in the second one was original, I think, and then in the last one, a lot of it was original. the last one doesn't have anything to do with the games much. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. She gets mentioned a lot. Like for how much actual screen time she has, she gets mentioned a lot. And she comes in as a ghost several times just to like give Terry the worst advice ever. Like one of the times, like, Terry asked her a question, like, he was, like, talking to her, and then he asked her a question, she's like, I just don't know. And I'm like, what a terrible ghost. Like, you were the least helpful ghost of all time.
Well, and at the end, it's like, but after that, his master appears. He's like, thank you, master. I was like, yeah, he didn't even care if she appeared. He didn't care.
Well, basically, all I got out of the first OVA is that Joe is madly in love with Terry, because he did jump in front of a gun for him, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm reminded of that part when Joe was, like, doing that what? It was, like, was it, like, underground? Like, boxing almost looked like? And they had, like, the electric fence? That was kind of cool. I remember that.
My favorite part of the first OVA, and it's probably just because we've been playing Fortnite so much recently. So, for everybody listening, Rika and I play Fortnite a lot with, like, a pretty big group of friends. And we have this one friend who I'm not going to say their name. I'll tell you after the recording if you don't catch on, because I don't know if you were there for the story. But one of our friends was playing with Lori, who is going to be a guest on the show again. Again, I'm referencing things that haven't happened yet, but will. So you guys will meet Lori soon. But anyway, he was playing with Lori, and Lori is like being attacked by like a big group of people, and he's out on the lake just driving a motorboat around in circles. And that's what Terry did at the end of this. Like, everybody is fighting against geese and getting their asses pounded into the ground. And Terry's just, like, on a speedboat, like, driving around. Like, he's going to save them. But, like, the montage, it just makes it look like he's just leisurely driving this boat around while his friends are getting pummeled to death. And it was great.
It's a bad day. I don't remember that.
It was at the very end whenever he was trying to get the geese.
I kind of remember now because they went to that island, kind of.
Yeah, and it was, I think Joe was fighting. I know that his brother was there. I keep forgetting his brother's name. Blue hair.
Why? Andy.
I keep forgetting Andy's name. God. I know Andy was fighting him, and I'm pretty sure because, Andy was fighting him. And I think Joe had already been defeated by him. And so, like, Terry was the only one left that could fight geese. And he's just, like, driving around on, like, a speedboat, like an idiot.
Yeah, Andy's such a nerd. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. Andy's a nerd.
I didn't care much for Andy. He was probably my least favorite of the core four characters.
Yeah, especially in the older games, he just doesn't look great.
He was like, and I have it in my notes that he's basically Vegeta because like he's always one step behind Terry. Like Terry is always like a clear leap in power above him.
Yeah,
and he can never beat Terry.
There's just some cliche stuff of like, you know, like, well, he was gonna teach the master is going to teach one of them techniques. But of course, one of them is just, you know, wants for power or whatever, and it's going to get to his head or whatever. And Terry's like, eh, you know, I don't care. And it's like, of course he's got a big Terry.
I forgot that when I was watching the first OVA, I was on something, I don't know. But I was just making up a completely different plot. So some of my notes might not actually be something that happened. Because I definitely, at the end, you know, after they defeat Geese, they're all talking about what they're going to do now. And Joe is like, I'm going to go to Thailand. And Andy's like, I'm going to go over here and train. And Terry's like, I don't know where I'll go. And I was like, Terry's going to go to Thailand. He's going to go to Thailand and fuck Joe. Like, that's what's going to happen.
That's your headcanon.
That's what happened. You can't tell me it didn't happen because you can't prove that it didn't happen.
I can. I.
You can't.
Whatever.
Because it ended. There's no more video.
But there's a million things you can't prove that happened. I can say something completely made up. And well, that could happen.
And we forgot that there were a lot of, like you said, a lot of the characters pop up that don't, that some weren't playable, but you could fight against, like Raiden and Billy are
both. Yeah, they become playable later, yes. Raiden, Billy, Duck King, you do see for a really, really small second. I can't remember if it's one or two. You'll miss it, like, if you don't see it.
I think it was two, because I don't remember him at all. One was very straightforward and very, like, rushing to the end.
He might have been, I mean, again, he was in there for literally a second. I know he was in the movie. He ran the nightclub, so he was in that whole scene. He's just a goofy character, but yeah, in the first game it was Duck King you could fight against, Raiden, I think Billy, and then Geese. There's also that, what's his name? He wears like a green shirt. He's kind of big. I can't remember his name, but he was like in the movies, but like you couldn't really. It didn't look like him. You know, he was in the movie where they were like, oh, it's that guy, and his mask like cracks. He's like under control of the masks or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I was like, oh, is that it? Yeah, it's like, but he doesn't. I think there's another character too that Joe is fighting against, which also might be a character. But sometimes they look so generic and not interesting. I'm like, are you a character? But I think he might have been. I was surprised in the last movie to where it's like, oh, so you see, I think it's like what, Krauser's brother. I'm like, oh, like he takes off his clothes. I'm like, oh, you're that one character. I like did know so he took off his clothes and then changed like into his whatever. Like almost like luchador outfit.
Oh, I thought that was, oh yeah, that's like his half brother, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Because he's in the second OVA too.
Is he? I guess he wasn't wearing his, I don't remember him in his whole costume.
Yeah, he fought against Mai and Andy, I think.
Maybe I can't remember.
There was so much that happened in the second one that was just irrelevant to everything.
Yeah, I do like how one thing that's kind of interesting, they kept trying to get Kim, because Kim is a popular character, but he just wasn't really
the random Korean that shows up for like 30 seconds per episode. Well,
yeah, because he's like, he is a popular character, like he is a, you know, people like him and he's like kind of a main character, kind of, but he just didn't have anything to do with the story. So it's like, I guess we'll just put him in here, put him in there. And the second one, they did a lot better on that. I did like it. It's fun seeing him. I like him. It's coming as DLC in the new game, and I'm excited. King of Fighters 15. So
there was one point in the second OVA. Again, I'm 100%. Convinced that Joe's gay and nobody can change my mind. He actually calls Raiden cute, or he said that he's cuter with his mask on or something like that. And I'm just like, or no, he said, I didn't know you, because Raiden had his mask off and he was going by the name Big Bear. And he's oh yeah, we've actually fought before. I'm Raiden. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you were so cute or something like that. I was like, shut your gay ass up.
Did he say that? You making
I'm 100% positive because I had to rewind it because I was like,
did you watch the dub or sub?
It was the dub, but I think he was making fun of him because he is not an attractive man. He's like balding, it's got the hair on the side, and he's like a really big guy, and he's just not. I think he was just messing with him, but still, like, shut your homosexual ass up.
Yeah, right and now. I could be wrong, but the Big Bear, whatever, I think it's a name he uses in one of the games, if I'm correct. I can't remember.
It's the name he uses when he's not a luchador, is what he said.
Yeah, but yeah, I should remember that actually in the Fatal Fury games. So yeah, that must be it, I think.
But yeah. It's essentially, if you want to know, I can sum up the second OVA very quickly.
Terry is drunk.
Well, no, so Terry encounters Krauser, who is the new big bad, who is favorite Fatal Fury character, I think, just because he's so ridiculous. He looks ridiculous. He's beautiful, but he looks ridiculous. He sounds ridiculous. He acts ridiculous. His story is ridiculous. Quite as ridiculous as the villains for the movie, but everything about him is just stupid, and I love it. But he just shows up and decides to challenge Terry, and Terry loses pretty badly, and it like breaks his mind because, oh my God, how can I lose? And so he's just like, I couldn't win this one fight after I had already been whooped up on by Kim, because he had just got done fighting Kim.
Yeah.
And because Kim also randomly showed up and challenged him, and then he beat Kim, and so he's wounded, and then he can't beat Krauser. And so he goes into like this downward spiral of depression and drinks for 40 minutes, basically, or for 30 minutes, because the last 10 minutes of the OVA, he gets shit together. But like, they had to fill the time, so there's all this stuff that happens with all of the other characters that just nobody cares. Like, they're all, because basically the entire plot of the second game is just like four guys trying to prove who has the biggest dick, because there was no reason for them to be fighting. There was no like plot pushing them forward to fight, other than the fact that they all wanted to be the strongest, and that's it. They just all wanted to be stronger than each other, because Terry got defeated by Krauser, and then Joe and Andy, I remembered this time. Joe and Andy find out, and then Andy's like, I'm gonna prove that I'm stronger than Terry by beating Krauser, and Joe's like, I want to suck Terry's dick, so I'm gonna beat Krauser up for being meanie to my boyfriend. And they go, so it's just a bunch of guys trying to prove who's the strongest. There was really no reason for any of this to happen. And meanwhile, Terry's poor liver is just deceased.
I'm pretty sure in the game it was another, because the first one there was a King of Fires tournament. That's how they go challenge these. I'm pretty sure it's also in the second one.
That's what I thought they were gonna do, because that would make sense. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of like how Tekken, they had the fighting tournament.
The Iron King of Fist tournament.
Yeah, that was the like driving force for everybody to be fist fighting each other every time. Yeah. But this one was based, it was just Krauser being like, I'm the strongest man in the world, and three other guys being like, no, you ain't, and then going to try to kill him. That's why. None of that needed to happen. Krauser died for no reason.
Well, and what I was gonna say, in every fighting game, there's like, okay, sorry, my mind went blank. It's always a tournament, or you get your wish granted. And some fighting games are like so dumb how they do it too. But one more thing, in the Fatal Fury 2 movie or OVA, the second one, I think it's a part where you see like an orchestra or something behind Krauser. That happens when you fight him. When you fight him in the final boss, he has a whole entire orchestra just around him, and they're actually playing the music, and it's like very dramatic. And that literally happens in the OVA. I thought that was cool.
Oh, and for the sake of the movie, because Krauser, despite being dead, is really important to the movie. It's worth saying that Krauser's family goes back several generations, and basically they're all these like super powerful men that once they get to a certain age, just kill their dads to prove that they're stronger.
Does that happen every time or just at one time?
No, I'm pretty sure he said that his dad killed his grandpa too, because you find out in the movie that they're being corrupted by the armor of Mars.
Yeah.
So it's corrupted. It corrupted their whole family because they have the breastplate. Oh. Like, spoiler alert, but they have the breastplate of the armor of Mars, which is the entire plot of the movie, of them trying to gather all the pieces together.
Yeah, I did like the designs of the bad guys in the second, or in the movie, last movie.
I thought they looked cool. Krauser is the best. I love his big titties. Did I say that aloud? Daddy, sorry.
No, you said it. You said those words. Words came out of your mouth and you said them.
I do love that, like, Terry, because I forgot to mention that Terry plays Beyblades because he does that, like, spinning cyclone attack. And Krauser copied it, and they basically just play Beyblades for a little while there, which is really fun.
He doesn't know that move in the game. It pisses me off, kind of. I was like, why does he do that? He doesn't do that.
Well, so Krauser copies that technique from him.
Well,
He
actually doesn't copy it. He already knows it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was like, but you find, like, the OVA makes it look like he copied it, but you find out in the movie that he already knew it because it was one of the ancient techniques passed down from the armor of Rome, what is it called? Armor of Mars. But anyway, but what I was going to say is that, like, Terry learns a new attack to beat him with. Terry beats him. And Krauser, like, at his last words as he's dying, he said, "What do you know? I am defeated." And then just dies. And then that's it. The movie's over. What do you know? I've been defeated. It's like, but he says it in this really bad German accent. I should also mention that the dub, they just give random accents. Like, Krauser lives in Germany. I understand that. But did he need, like, a heavy, fake, terrible German accent? Like, why couldn't he have just sounded normal? This movie just had, or this dubbing as a franchise just has some really weird accents. Like, there's one of his friends at the construction site is Scottish for no reason. Like,
yes, I was gonna talk about that. I was like, well, where is he? Because the thing is, remember, Terry and Andy are American. Geese is too. Geese is American, but he loves Japanese stuff. He's like one of those people. He's like obsessed with Japanese stuff.
He's a weeb.
He literally is. Because I think it's like in one of the stages, it's like a very traditional Japanese, you know, like stage, and it's like very pretty. But then it's like I think he has American flags in the background and stuff. I'm like, oh, of course.
Well, I mean, in the first OVA, when they fight him, he's in like a Japanese like koi pond area.
Yeah, he loves that kind of stuff. But then you realize his name is Geese and it's Terry and Andy. It's all very American names.
Well, Joe isn't he from Thailand?
Yeah, Joe's from Thailand. I don't understand that.
I don't get that name.
No, I can see it. I can see it.
His last name sounds Japanese. I forget what it was. I thought he had a Joe.
Like Joe Higurashi.
Higashi. He's got an American first name and a Japanese last name, and he wears a Japanese bandana, but he's from Thailand.
I don't
make it make sense.
I don't know. I do like
He is Japanese. I'm looking at the wiki. Okay, he trained in Thailand where he learned Muay Thai.
There we go. That makes more sense. I can say I like how everyone says their moves. That was nice.
And Billy is from Australia, isn't he?
Is he? I thought he's from the UK.
Is he from the UK? He had some kind of accent.
Or maybe he does. I might be getting flags mixed up because he does have a flag on one of his outfits at some point in fighting game.
He's from London. I was just getting my accents wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna say because he has an outfit that like literally has the flag on there.
Well, the Australian flag also has the Union Jack on it, but it looks very different. So.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Are you right? I don't know.
No, he is from London. I don't know if the voice actor was just bad or if I just was mishearing because I was also, distracted.
I thought it sounded correct, personally.
I was distracted by Joe being beautiful for a lot of the movie.
Of course you are. And your made-up story about him being gay with Terry.
Okay, it's not made up that he's gay. It might be made up that with Terry, but it's not made up. No heterosexual man asks another man to go to his room to have drinks and then literally gets tucked into bed because, you know, he got too drunk.
I guess it's a guy thing. I wouldn't know. I'm sorry.
No heterosexual man should do that. If you're going into somebody's hotel room for drinks, there's a lot of implications that go along with that.
I Yeah.
Unless it's like a room party. Like, I've been to convention room parties where there's like 30 people in a room drinking. But like, if you're going one-on-one with somebody to their hotel room, that is not a G-rated interaction.
I guess.
We should probably
Even
talk
though
about the movie. We've talked about the OVAs for a while.
we talked about the movie.
A little bit.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, well, I was gonna say the sex appeal definitely looks like it went up in the movie. But another thing kind of related to that, I realized, and this happened in the movie, it might happen in the other ones too, outfits got changed a lot. I saw a lot of different outfits. I know one outfit that Mai had at some point, which I really liked, which was, it said milk on it, and I like it
Oh
for
yeah, I
obvious
remember
reasons.
that.
I like,
She wears a
yes.
lot of like really high up crop tops, like barely covering her boob crop tops.
Yeah, but yeah, there's, yeah, it's a part where you saw Joe in the Speedo. She also had a really, she had a nice swimsuit, but the back you could see like, what do you call it? It's like a knot. She has it in her actual outfit too. The kind of like the white knot. But that
Yeah,
was like,
the traditional Japanese like undergarments.
yeah, but you can only see that in the back, but I thought that was hot still. But you also see her tits. You see it like two times, and I'm like, I'm okay with this. I'm
I
totally okay
mean,
with
you
this.
see, I think, doesn't Andy, is he the one that takes a shower and gets naked? One of the guys gets naked for no reason.
Do they?
Yeah, I can't remember. It's in my notes somewhere. I'll see it
Well, hey,
eventually.
it shows that I don't pay attention to that. I pay attention to the
And
ladies.
it should be noted though that the animation for the movie was a huge step up and everything looks a lot better.
I will say that except for one part, is when Terry's in the arcade, which he's playing an SNK machine, by the way, which is amazing. He's literally in Neo Geo Land, which is what they were called. Like, the arcades were called Neo Geo Land. I think they were. If anything, in a billion different King of Fighters games or anything, in the background you'd always see Neo Geo Land. There would always be arcades that would be like references. But I remember in that part where you fight that one guy, the animation looked really wonky to me. Like, the animation was like not bad, but like Terry looks very not detailed. I'm like, this looks kind of weird for the movie. Everything else looks fine. But it's that one part that looked almost unfinished to me personally. It looks really weird and off-putting. That's just me.
Oh, while we're talking about really weird off-putting things, I'm going backwards a little bit, but I don't know if it was a part that got cut out of the dub originally, or if Crunchyroll was just having a fit, but there was an entire scene of my dubbed OVA 2 that was in Japanese with subtitles. And at first I thought it was in Japanese because they were in Japan, but then even characters that would later speak English, like Joe and a few other people, were speaking Japanese. And it was just very weird. So I don't know if that got cut from the dub originally and Crunchyroll put it in
No.
there to. Did that
No,
happen for you?
no, you
It
had
was
a weird something.
because it was the scene where Joe is fighting in that tournament and then he finds out that Terry is like an alcoholic now and about Krauser and he leaves mid-match and the guy's like, you can't leave. People, paid to see you fight. And so he like knocks out Raiden real quick and then runs. Like that entire scene for me
Yeah.
was in Japanese for some reason.
That's weird. Yeah, it wasn't
It
like
was
that
very
for
weird.
me.
But
Yeah,
anyway,
he knocked up Ryan and that other guy. But that reminds me in the, I don't know why it reminds me of this, but in the movie, the beginning part, you see that one guy do like a move against the bad guys. I don't know if he's supposed to be a character I know, but I was like, he just seemed like some random guy doing like a Kamehameha or something. I'm like, does everyone just know moves in this world? And that's just common.
yeah, it was the spectator guy, the announcer guy.
Oh, so was he that one guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks so different in the game, I swear.
But I think that the world that they're in, if you train enough, like and focus your energy and everything, then you'll be able to use like energy powers. That's what comes off. Because it seems like anybody can learn it, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I did find it interesting, 'cause I think it was in the second movie, Terry. It's like learning Power Geyser, which is like his like final move, whatever. It was interesting. They were trying to go like, it almost seemed like they were trying to go a whole like Sate no Hado route. Like in Street Fighter, that's when like that's what Akuma has. And, like, even Ryu kind of, like, struggles with it and becomes, like, evil. They kind of did that with Terry with his eyes. I don't remember that being a thing in the game. But they almost tried to be like, oh, it's too much power and it's going to corrupt you. But they didn't really go anywhere with that afterwards.
I was very happy, though, that, and not to completely disregard what you were saying, but we were talking about the animation is how we got there. No, because I was getting to a point.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, with the animation looking better. Joe got nipples. They gave him nipples finally. After two OVAs where he just had like weird nippleless pecs, he's got nipples now.
I'm not trying.
And he also had cute little fangs, like the like where like they're trying to make characters look kind of cute and mean, and they give them little angry fangs. He had those for part of the movie too, which is cute. I'm a Joe Stan now. Joe Stan account, subscribe.
But it's like you're saying, I'm not trying to describe what you're saying.
But I'm going to.
But men nipples. But nipples.
Male nipples deserve equal treatment. Like, there's,
you know what?
There's so many shows that have like shirtless guys and they don't put the nipples on them. It's like, honey, we know they're there.
That is weird. I don't get it. I think that's them trying to like censor, but it's like, it doesn't make sense.
I think it's just because like there was a lot of weird Japanese television laws, and I think that nipples, period, were for a while not okay. Because like even when there would be like naked females, they wouldn't have nipples a lot of the times if it was like a television anime, like Sailor Moon. In the last two episodes of Sailor Moon, you know, she's completely naked with her angel wings, but she doesn't have nipples, you know, because it's like a younger
kid
show. So I think that's probably what it was, because the OVAs were probably. Well, I'm assuming they wanted them to be shipped around to television if possible, but the movie was definitely a movie.
There's so that too. Well, with Sailor Moon, she's also younger, so it's like, I don't want to see that.
I want everybody to know, before I started making sexual references to Joe, I did look up how old he was. He was like 21 in the first OVA, and by the end of the series, he's like 25, so I'm good. Nobody come for me. So basically, I keep wanting to say the second movie. The plot of the movie is that we have these new bad guys that are introduced, and then one new good guy. What was her name? Like, it was something stupid. Sulia. Because it wasn't Julia, it was Sulia. There we go. So the basic plot of this movie is that we've got four new bad guys that they introduce, and they introduce them pretty rapid fire. They're all incredibly sexualized, mostly naked, except for the woman, but later she kind of gets naked too because her clothing gets mysteriously ripped. Very, very, very quintessentially this artist that drew this, because like if you look at, I keep referencing it just because I'm watching it right now, but if you look at Virus Buster Surge, you see the same kind of character designs, like these like hypersexualized people. The thing that really annoyed me, though, is they introduced four new villains. There was the leader, obviously. There was the muscle man. There was the kind of pretty boy. And then there was the girl. You would think that because we have four main characters, they would line up. And for the most part, they did. Like, Mai fought the girl. And then Andy. Yeah. Andy fought the pretty boy and won. And so I was like, okay, now it's Joe's time to shine. It's Joe's time to shine. He's going to fight the muscle, the hot muscle guy. No, Terry did. Joe literally got to do nothing this whole movie. He fought a couple of foot soldiers and walked around in a Speedo for a good 20 minutes.
Hey, do you have any complaints about that?
I wanted to see him shine. I wanted my baby to do good.
Yeah, but you got to see him in Speedo.
Yeah, I got a lot of screenshots. I didn't. No, that's a lie. But our new villains, basically the leader of them has a twin sister. It's a sister, but I'm pretty sure they're twins, is what they said. But their backstory is so stupid. Like, it's so convoluted because like they're descendants of these ancient people, but also like they're in present day and.
I didn't understand the not twins. I didn't understand them. I don't know. I did not understand where they came from.
Who are they?
No, Now, the brother, the twins, I just remember being that their father's archaeologist. He dug up whatever. Then he got, like, murdered by the colleague. He took the credit. And then, you know, the one kid, he killed him.
He took the armor and started getting corrupted by it and killed him. But they also at one point, I'm pretty sure they said that they were a descendant of the original people who made the armor.
I honestly
don't know.
I think that was that Krauser. I can't remember. I could be completely wrong.
Krauser's grandfather stole it from one of the areas.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember. But they never really explained where those other people came from. Maybe they just picked him up on the side of the road.
Sulia, I keep wanting to say Julia because Sulia is such a stupid name. Sulia is looking for Terry because she heard that he's this renowned fighter who defeated basically the two strongest people on the planet at this point, as far as this story is concerned. And she knows that if her brother keeps getting the armor pieces, he's only going to get stronger. So she decides to go recruit him. And of course she bumps into him without even meaning to. That is like my least favorite trope, by the way. Like, I understand her tracking him down and finding him at that, at Joe's reception party for him winning that tournament. Like, that makes sense. But I hate the trope of just randomly bumping into the person you're looking for on the street. Like, I hate that.
Well, remember, the two of them, they're twins, so they can, like, sense each other or whatever dumb shit, so.
No, I'm talking about her finding Terry. Like, she
Terry!
Yeah, she just bumped into Terry at the arcade. She just happened to bump into him. I hate that trope. I wish that she just would have ran into him, like, I wish she would have tracked him down at the reception because she knew he was going to be there and that's why she was going there. And that makes much more sense than her getting cornered in the arcade and him saving her. And then her being like, I'm looking for Terry. And it's like, I knew him all along. Oh my God. Like, it's just, I hate that trope.
I mean, it's the trope of like, it's fate, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's a more common like Japanese thing. Yeah,
but basically, she asks him for help, and literally everybody just immediately volunteers. Like, they don't have anything else to do. Like, because Andy volunteers, and then basically says that Mai and Joe will go with them. Like, he's like, yeah, we're all in, or something like that. It was either Joe or Andy that said that, and just, like, volunteered everybody else. And I was just like, bitch, don't you be volunteering me for no suicide mission. No. Oh God! My biggest complaint with this movie is they spent a really, really long time setting everything up. Like, the fights and the ending was satisfying when we got there, but it took so long to get there because you have the opening sequence where Sulia bumps into Terry. Then you have the party that they're throwing for Joe for winning, and that gets attacked by people. And then she recruits them to help out, and basically they're wanting to stop him from finding the last few pieces of the armor. So they learn the legend and they figure out where these pieces are supposed to be. Like, one of them was supposed to be in Turkey and the other one in China, I think, something like that. Baghdad.
Red Sea.
Where they thought they were at first, and then they found out got stolen. But like, the bad guys just kept showing up and being vaguely threatening and then being like, oh, well, we'll see you later. And like, they just kept like building these people up over and over again. One of them would show up and just like threaten them and then leave and not fight them.
It's like that weird part to where it's like, you see Billy, because Billy's in that one part in the club, but then he goes find Geese, I guess. And then he's like training and super like whatever. And he's like, you realize he's become so strong and threatening. And like, it's so scary now. And it's like, and they never go back to that. Never ever. Nope. Like, were they going to do a sequel? Like,
yeah, they see him, they see him like powering up and getting strong and, you know, going to have his comeback. And then nothing happens with it.
Yeah, he's even wearing the outfit that I'm more recognized of him. So that was kind of cool seeing that. But, you know.
And I just want to say that like, this is kind of off topic, but I'm kind of going through my notes and reading some funny things that I have. Raiden is the only one that like immediately shows interest in hitting on women. Like, as soon as he saw Sulia, he was like, you know, how can I help you? You're so beautiful. And then he was even like a gentleman. And when she's like, no, I'm looking for Terry, he's like, oh, okay, I understand. He backed off. Like, he was the only straight man, I feel like, in this entire damn movie. Everybody else is so gay.
Terry, I feel like, goes both ways. I'm just saying.
Well, but Terry has to at least have sex once because, you know, Virus Buster Surge exists. And his either his grandson or his great-grandson is in there. So he definitely had sex with one woman. Maybe the Lily's ghost comes back and he fucks her or something. Maybe that's canon.
Yeah. This is also kind of off topic. It was also going through my notes. But yeah, in the scene where they're in the nightclub, and so Mai is like switched out with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's Nako, I can never say her name right. Nako Ruru, she's from Samurai Showdown. I thought that was a cool reference. But I was reading about it, and they also say that the person who voiced her also did, like, the actual, like, I guess, like, for maybe commercials and stuff, like, the cosplay for her, too. But you know, I love Super Sentai and stuff, and she also was the Pink Ranger in that, which is really neat. But yeah. I was also reading, they switched them. But she also does a character song, which she sings as Mai. In one of the CDs, so that was also kind of like an end joke on that.
I read somewhere, and this could be me just like making stuff up, but I'm pretty sure that I read somewhere on like one of the wikis or in an article that several of the voice actors portrayed live action versions of the Fatal Fury characters and the King of Fighters characters in like commercials, where they were the voices that everybody was familiar with, they would dress up as the characters for the commercials. I'm pretty sure that that's what you were talking about. Like,
yeah, I think so. I know that, yeah, I know she did, they just said that she did, let's see.
Because the King of Fighters movie was American and should never be brought up in polite conversation.
Yeah, and it was just, she would, yeah, she just dressed up as, or is it posed? Yeah. And advertised the campaign.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was cool that she was a Super Sentai, though. That's neat.
Mm-hmm. The timeline makes sense because she was kind of an idol type person. Not like a traditional idol of like going around and singing and stuff, but she was like a famous person back then.
Oh.
Being on Super Sentai meant something.
Yeah. Also, apparently. Oh, apparently in the Japanese version, because her name is Reiko Chiba, Joe literally says, is that Reiko Chiba? Which is that's say, yeah, that's even more like in jokey, yeah.
I love Joe so much. Joe is Spade.
Yeah. Oh, I love Duck King. This guy's so dumb. Why is his name Duck King?
I don't know. That entire scene, the only thing I remember about that is after the fight's over, he's, like, devastated that his brand new club is, like, destroyed. That's the only thing I remember about him.
I remember we were talking about this earlier. You're, like, Duck King. I was like, his name was Rich.
I was not paying as much attention as I should. I have to marathon a lot of stuff for this show, so sometimes I miss details, okay? I'm human.
Yes. Yes,
I'm not even human, to be honest with you.
You're alien. We've been over this.
We have. It's established lore.
You're but an yeah, alien. I'll say you're alien and furry.
but basically, like, this movie is... There was a few scenes in this movie, like, I feel like really could have been cut out of the movie. Like, they did this whole, like, part where they're, like, researching in a... in a library. And I feel like that entire scene could have been taken out. So they spend all this time at the library and reading all these things, and they find out that it's probably at this police station, and then Joe happens to have a newspaper where it says the police station has exploded. They could have cut out like 15 minutes there by just having them walk past the police station as it's being attacked and see them run off with the piece, instead of wasting all of our time with this long, boring library scene.
I guess.
Because they were already in the town, And if it was an explosion, they probably, like, because I know I just said I hated to, like, happen, you just happen to run into people.
I was
like,
going to say, but, why are you saying that, like, when you don't like
but,
it?
But in this situation, in this situation, they'd be hearing an explosion, so it would be a lot less. It's like there's 3,000 people in a room and you happen to see one person that's important versus you're in a city and a terrorist attack happens and you hear it and, like, go to the scene. Two completely different scenarios. So I really would have preferred in this instance had they just shown us the police station being attacked instead of having them talk about it for 15 minutes.
I guess a lot of this stuff didn't bore me as much.
I mean, at least they all, like, because they kind of split up for a little while to do the research, but they come back together just in time to wear Speedos. Oh, no, wait, the Speedos were before that, weren't they? Yeah, because that's how they got to, how they got to the ancient ruins. Never mind. Joe's in a Speedo. Oh. I know I've said that many times before, but I just want to make
sure. All you can think about is just Joe in a Speedo. Just naked men. That's all you can think about.
Also, Sulia was talking mad shit about Alexander the Great, which really makes me angry because I love Alexander the Great. She was like, yeah, he couldn't defeat our ancestors because he was a little punk-ass bitch, and he went home and died. And I'm like, you know what, Sulia? I hope you die. And you know what? She did. Who's the real winner here?
Damn.
I'm the real winner.
Damn.
I won for Alexander. He's really hot in Fate, too. Anyway. So I know we're jumping around a lot, but this movie, the middle part of this movie is just kind of whatever. The beginning is really interesting. I really did. I didn't know a whole lot about a lot of the characters, but I ended up liking Kim a lot, so I was glad that they brought him back for this movie. Especially when you got to see his family, and there was a really, like, there was a really nice touch because he was fighting one of the henchmen and he was struggling, and somebody was about to jump in and they stopped him and they're like, no, like, his family needs to see him be strong and independent. And I thought that was cute.
Yeah,
I really
like
that. So yeah, the beginning of this movie is really good. The ending of this movie is really, really good. Like, the fight scenes are amazing. Something that we didn't talk about a lot is in the OVAs, the fight scenes are really brief. Like, especially the first OVA, they crammed a shit ton of fights into that 40 minutes. And some of the fights were like 30 seconds long and they were over. Mm. These fights in this movie feel like fights, except for the fight against Jammin, which really disappointed me because Jammin was my favorite of the four bad guys. But I digress. The middle part of this movie just was kind of meh.
Yeah, it just felt like it dragged on a bit. They were just searching. It felt very Indiana Jones. I just felt like they were searching for stuff.
Yeah.
Even I had to kind of pause it for a second. I think that's where you had to stop for a second too, right?
Yeah, I was watching this while I was doing a couple of other things, and there's some priorities. I had to pause it in the middle, and it was literally in the middle because it was starting to drag a little bit, and I could feel my attention wane. Came back fresh after a while, and the end of the movie makes it all worth it. Like, I really love the Mai fight scene. I'm glad that she finally got to kick ass. Because she spent most of the movies being, or most of the second OVA and most of the first movie being kind of weak and useless for the most part. And so I'm glad that she finally got to shine a little bit.
I just remember the part in that fight where she, like, slaps her ass or something. And I love it.
That was pretty funny. And then they fight, and then the pretty boy, there was one point in the movie where the pretty boy kisses Mai, and Andy gets a little bit jealous. Andy is confirmed homosexual, but that is, like, his best friend, so I can understand.
Confirmed.
We're gonna keep this narrative of Andy being gay for the whole time.
I won't say you are, but I was saying it too, so never mind.
that kind of set up his reason to want to fight the guy in the mask whose name I can't remember. The guy from Blaze Blue, Galleon from Lunar, the Silver Star Story. All these, like, masquerade mask people.
I don't know that one.
Anyway, so basically, so he gets to fight them. They have a pretty cool fight, and then so, like, it. I said this earlier, but it kind of leads you to think that, okay, you know, now it's Joe's turn. Joe's going to fight Jammin. But no, Joe just kind of doesn't. Terry rushes ahead because there's like these foot soldiers. So they decide they're going to take on the foot soldiers and they send Terry ahead. And Terry fights Jammin, and Jammin just lets him kill him, basically. Like, because Jammin doesn't want his friend. The general people, the bad guys, they didn't really explain where these three people came from. The twins they did, but the other three they didn't.
Yeah.
So I guess like he's like really loyal to him for some reason, the main bad guy, Jammin is. And so, but he didn't want Jammin to be corrupted by the armor, so he decided to sacrifice himself so that Terry could go and take him on without, you know, being beaten up from their fight and be at full strength. Which was really disappointing because I really liked Jammin, and he was the only one that really didn't have much to do.
Yeah.
But he looked amazing. Like, he had my favorite character design in the third movie by far. Like, Crowley is my favorite overall, but Jammin was my favorite for the movie. And he just kind of flopped over and died. I was like, come on.
Yeah. Ugh.
And of course, like, of course they completed the evil armor and he, you know, he was able to become evil and Terry was able to take him down. And then like the armor, which I kind of saw coming because like there's the last piece they needed to find was a mask. And when they found the mask, it was on the statue of the original bearer of this armor. And he was impaled by a bunch of spears, like he was like entombed there. So I was like, I bet you that statue comes to life. And it did, because after they defeat Boy Twin, whose name I refuse to learn, the armor kind of falls off of him, like melds into the floor and turns into liquid and goes and like fuses to the statue and turns into Pyron from Darkstalkers. Which is weird.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of bosses, especially in newer Fatal Fury game or King of Fire games, are very similar. You always fight the one, and then you fight the one boss that's like human, and then of course after that's the more monstrous. Back then they didn't really do it that much, so it's kind of interesting to see that here.
Did he not look like Pyron though? I thought he looked like Pyron.
Not exactly. I get it, but I
big
wouldn't
muscle,
really...
fiery magma man.
I guess. But I have this is off topic, but I have a couple other notes. Oh yeah, I remember at one part during the movie, like passing by people and they're just saying something, and then it's literally it's like a conversation over here, and they're like, "Yeah, man, I saw your sister naked." I had to like go back, like, did they say that? That's so random.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was like, what the hell is that? I was like, okay, that's a thing that was said, sure.
That was words that were said.
Yeah. And I'm just going through my notes. I remember a lot of Mai's outfits were amazing. I love her. She had a cat nightgown at one point that was really cute, too. She had, like, the most outfit changes, I feel. But she's also the waifu bait, so.
I know that Andy had a cute outfit at one point. He had like a scarf or an ascot that he was wearing. It's when they were in Germany, I think, and they couldn't go to the castle for some reason. And so Mai's like, then we'll just have a vacation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he really didn't want
to. He did not want to.
He did not want to be there. But speaking of them just going all over the place, I remember, like, with the airlines, it's the SNK Airlines. There's a truck, it's the SNK on it, too. There's a lot of small references.
At one point, they implied that they drove in a truck from Egypt to Germany, I'm pretty sure. I think those were the two locations. And I'm just like, that would have taken a very long time. Those are not close geographical locations.
What do you know?
I mean, I have maps. I can look at maps. You know, some people don't have maps. Okay, that's a really old joke. I apologize for that.
I don't get it.
It was in 2008, probably, from the Miss Teen America pageant. Is this girl asking about, like, how she would help third world countries? And she's like, I think that they need maps because not everyone has maps.
Oh, my
It was the dumbest answer ever. I love it. And I say it more times than I should.
That sounds very accurate to what I've seen from those pageants.
We're not here to shame anybody, but some people are smarter than others, is all I'm going to say.
Most people are smarter than me.
True.
But another thing was, I don't remember the scene anymore, but wasn't there a scene in one of these movies where it was like black and white for a second? I'm pretty sure, like, I wrote down my notes, and I do vaguely remember. I just don't remember which scene. But I thought that was cool.
I remember that.
There, it was. I know it was. I can't remember what it was because vaguely, but it might have been the very dramatic moment where they all hurt or something. But I do remember that.
Maybe it was during Terry's alcoholic time, because I didn't pay attention to a lot of that.
Maybe it was kind of later. But I also have a funny. Remember when what's her name? The twin, the girl twin. Do we remember?
Sulia is the girl.
Sulia. It's when she was like naked on top of Terry. In that one. I literally have a note saying, "Stop making him straight."
Yeah, I have the same note. I swear to God, I'm like, Terry is not heterosexual.
I mean, I feel like it goes both ways, but I said that because I knew it was a thing you were gonna say, and you had it in your notes.
Oh, I put, she decides her vagina is the only thing that can save him.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to heal you through the power of my breasts.
Yeah. Another thing,
I was gonna say though, that's another thing that they didn't explain. Like, she has healing powers, and it's just like, okay. And everybody was shocked that she had healing powers, so it's not like a normal thing in this world to have healing powers. And they didn't address it. So I'm just like, whatever.
You kind of did say that they, I remember this part, that they were like ancestors or something of whatever.
So I'm think pretty sure that it said that at one point.
It has to be, right?
I was thinking that it was the pendant that was doing it, but the pendant ended up just being like Indiana Jones, like,
exactly,
trap
yeah.
thing to show, like, with the light reflecting and stuff. It was literally an Indiana Jones scene.
It literally is that for all, yeah. But I was gonna say, I was gonna watch Japanese version, but I didn't have time to. But I know a lot of times that Terry does, you know, he is like American, so he does a lot of English. You know, just like okay and stuff like that. At the end of, it might have been the first or second one, they says okay. It really sounds very, I can tell it's a dub actor, but it sounds very Englishy. But I like that. I like that detail. They still says okay.
Catchphrase.
I guess it. Okay. I love it. It's not in these games yet, but I love it when he's like, "Are you okay, Buster or Wolf?" I love it. There's a video of him doing our game he's been in, and it's like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" Thank you for checking in on me, Terry. He cares. He really cares.
Terry cares. One of my notes just says, "Of course they show her tits." So I'm guessing that was like the shower scene or something.
They showed it two times. Excuse me.
Well, one was like she had a magical girl transformation sequence out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a thing she does.
She wears layers because she had her like fighting outfit under her like cute everyday outfit.
Yeah. And other notes I have is I guess that's. I have a note that say boob jab. I don't remember what that was.
Your notes sound very similar to mine. I just kind of write what I see without any context.
Yeah, okay. I'm running out of notes. I have a note. Did they kiss? Andy's gay. They didn't kiss, so Andy's gay.
We already knew Andy was gay. That's not a question anymore.
I know. What? No, that was a statement, not a question. And this goes back to the very, 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 very beginning of everything. I do remember seeing Kid Terry was like, because, you know, you never, like, Kid Terry wasn't a thing in the games for obvious reasons. So seeing, like, them that long ago was kind of interesting. I guess I also didn't expect it. I can't remember if there was too much blood in these. I can't really remember. But
there was a little bit, but they used that technique where it was like, the screen would go dark and there would just be like a line of glowing red like shoot across the screen. Like there wasn't a whole lot of like explicit
blood. Well, Because in the very first scene, in the very first OVA, blood literally splats on what's her name. I'm like, damn. Like, I just thought that was kind of like, I didn't expect that. So
it's also worth mentioning that both the twins die so that we never have to talk about them ever again.
I hate it. Mai goes on this whole thing to her about how, well, Derek's just afraid he's going to lose the one he loves, the last person he loved died. And you really think they're going to do that thing to where she lives in the end? No, she fucking dies. And I'm like,
just foreshadowing.
I'm like, I guess, but I just like, a lot of times they seem to like, oh no, she's really going to live. Like, you know, they die and somehow come back to life, you know, that bullshit. But I'm like,
I thought her brother dying was really weird because, like, he just flopped over and died. Like, he was like, yo, guys, I'm naked and I'm tired of you guys staring at my dick, so I'm out, and then just gone.
But yeah, I mean,
because he clearly had other clothes on other than that armor, but for some reason, when the armor left him, he was just butt ass naked.
Yeah. I mean, I already have notes, but I like the movies. I thought the ending, what was the very, how did the movie end? I feel like they just went to the sunset and that was it.
Well, because they defeated the, like, she dies, they defeated it, the glowy guy, and then Terry just, like, vows to become stronger, to keep getting stronger, something like that, and he literally walks off into the sunset shirtless and, like, throws his cap in the air, and there's, like, this awkwardly long freeze frame of him, and I the only reason it stands out in my mind is because he has nipples in that scene, and I screenshotted that as well.
Of course you did. But him throwing his hat is pretty iconic too. I can't remember if he did that in the older games, but I know that's an iconic thing he does.
And I wanted to say that one of my friends, Ramses, who's been on this podcast a couple of times and who I join on his podcast for the Cosmocast, he made me this sticker because on the Cosmocast I talk about daddies all the time. And so he made me this sticker that says KRF approved daddy. And it's like, it's a PNG, so I can just slap it on anything. So the picture, the screenshot that I took of Terry throwing his hat where he's shirtless, I put that sticker on there, and I'm going to release that with this episode.
Because I
love Joe. Joe is my husbando, but husbandos are not always daddies, and daddies are not always husbandos. Like, Terry is not a husbando. Terry is somebody you pump and dump and leave.
Wow.
He's a fuckboy. Joe's a fuckboy too, but he's a lovable fuckboy. He's got those cute little things.
And you know
he's got cute underwear because he had that Speedo. So you know that he's fashionable in the bedroom. So
true.
Yeah, Joe over Terry. But Joe is not a daddy. Joe is a little too young and scrawny to be a daddy.
I was going to say, yeah, not all waifus are mommies. You're right.
Yeah, they're not,
different things. Same.
Not all waifus have big mommy milkers. You know, not all of them do. Most do. Some do.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Noelle Vermillion is not a mommy, but she is a waifu.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing wrong with it. I'll take everything.
Just direct all female characters towards Rika.
Yes, please. I am female. I like females. Please.
But yeah, so essentially, I teased it at the first of the episode, and I just remembered it as I was starting to wrap up the episode. But I do have a funny story about this. Like, I am infamous for my stupid stories that I tell, my funny stories. I think they're funny. I don't know if other people think they're funny, but I think they're hilarious. But anyway,
we'll find out.
So when I was a kid, there was a magazine that I used to get all the time called Electronic Gaming Monthly. It was mostly a video game magazine, and this was the late 90s. My dad was still around, so because not to be Debbie Downer, but my dad passed away in 2002, so that's kind of like a milestone where I know stuff because my dad was there for this. So it had to be the late 90s or really early 2000s. But there was a book in the back of this magazine, and you could buy anime VHS tapes and video games out of it. It was like a mail order catalog. Like, the last like 10 pages would be this thing. And there was a number that you could call to order stuff in it. And they had the Fatal Fury movie, and it was listed for $0. and 0 cents. All you had to do is pay shipping and handling for it. I don't know why. I don't. Maybe they had like a huge overstock of them and they were trying to get rid of them. But I remember calling their hotline because I didn't understand shipping and handling because I was pretty young. I was probably like 7 or 8. So I didn't understand. It just said $0. So it was like, just give me the damn tape. So I called the hotline thinking they were just going to hand me a tape through the phone or something. I don't know. I'm a stupid kid.
Wow.
But I called the hotline and I asked about it. And I'm on hold for a while. And then they finally answer. And the nice lady like explained shipping and handling to me. And I'm like, well, I'm a little kid. I don't have a credit card or check. So sorry that I wasted your time. And I hung up. About 2 or 3 weeks later, my dad comes to me and is like, KRF's real name, who I'm not going to say on this podcast, what the hell is this? And he shows me the phone bill. That number that I called charged $5 per minute. And I had like a $40 charge for me calling to ask about an anime tape.
Wow.
Because they had me on hold for so long. And he was so mad at me.
Wow.
So that's my like core memory of the Fatal Fury movie. I eventually did rent it and watch it as a kid. The OVAs I didn't watch, but the movie I did watch as a kid. But the reason why I bring it up is because we always kind of do like a wrap up the end of this podcast to kind of just give your opinion if this is a good piece of media or if people are just really nostalgic about it. It's a little bit different because I only vaguely remember watching the movie. I don't think you would watch the movie either. Is that right?
No, and I was gonna, yeah, I haven't. I was gonna say, because like, I didn't get into Fatal Fury till like a couple years ago. I like played it on PS2 in some collections. Yeah, I've always seen people play it. I was like, oh, that looks interesting. I like Terry a lot, so yeah. But that's for me. It's not that much of an old thing. It's more like maybe the past 5 years. I'd be being into like SNK games.
So essentially, like, this is a little bit of a weird topic because we're both tangentially connected to this franchise, but we're not super attached to it. So usually the format is at least myself or the guest host or one of the guest hosts has really fond memories of this from their childhood. And neither one of us really do, but it's still easy to objectively look at something and see, because Fatal Fury is a cult classic. So there are a lot of diehard fans for it out there. So we can still objectively look at it and say, is it good or is it just nostalgic? Because that's the answer we're trying to find on this podcast with all of these shows that we watch. Is it actually a good piece of media? Does it hold up, you know, 20, 30 years later? Or do people just like it because that's all we had at the time? Because let's face it, a lot of the time back in the 90s and 2000s with anime, we just kind of took what we could get our hands on because it was just sporadic stuff coming out. So do you feel like these are actually good pieces of media? Like, how do you feel about it?
I mean, because I was going to say, I think, like, because I found out about, it was with Dystopic Media, because they released, I think, the movie recently. And the way, yeah, Dystopic. Because the way I see it is like, but like how, like before I watched it, my opinions on the movie was like, it looks like a classic. It looks really, really, really good. And that was my feelings on it for like before I like actually watched it. And I actually really wanted to get the Blu-ray too. And I thought the first two were fine. They had like original characters, which was, I feel like they're kind of there to be whatever. But I thought I did a pretty good job for the most part. I liked them, right? I didn't think they were too boring, honestly. Then I had like maybe 5 notes. I had like 3 notes for one, 2 notes for another. The movie, I had like 50 notes. I had so many more notes. But I think it was a movie. So there was like so many outfits and art direction. There's so much going on. Like everyone was wearing different clothes, like at any given point, it felt like. Which I liked. It like made it entertaining for me at least. But yeah, I thought they were good. Honestly, I mean, I liked the movie. I guess I wouldn't say they were like amazing. Like maybe like great good with the last movie. I liked the first two also. I might have actually liked the first two a little bit more, maybe because they're canon personally. And I don't know, but that's just me.
I really feel conflicted, to be honest with you, because as I was watching the two OVAs, I was for the most part, enjoying it. Like, I thought they were fairly good.
Same.
But then when I got to the movie, and they recapped so much information, and a big chunk of the movie was explaining stuff and exposition and things, a lot of it was stuff we already knew. Like, it still kind of served a purpose. Like, you were talking about Mai and Twin Girl, whose name I always forget for the millionth time. Like, instead of just straight up having a narrator say that Terry's girlfriend died, they used her as a device to explain to people that might not have seen the OVAs. So it wasn't clunky in how it did it, but it was a lot of the same information that I had just watched like an hour before. So yeah. It kind of made the movie feel a little bit slower. Whereas I think if I had just watched the movie and learning about his girlfriend Lily for the first time, because there's the scene where the picture falls out of his pocket and you get a glimpse of it. And had you not seen the OVAs, that would have been your first interaction with her, or seeing her, I guess. So that,
yeah,
it would have been more intriguing. So it's kind of like the trap of my brain always wants me to watch everything in order, where this movie didn't necessarily need you to. It helps, it enriches the movie, but it also slows the pace of the movie down. So it's hard for me to say if these are like really good because the story re-explained so much, but I also don't think they were meant to be watched back to back like that. So it's very conflicting.
Yeah, they all these came out years apart, but I think it's like they know Bear Fur is so popular because the first two were OVAs, the last one was a movie, and I think seeing a movie is way more like easy to do, I guess, maybe back then. And it's just like I think they know at least people play the game. If you love the game, you probably know a little bit of the lore. You could probably jump in. This is an original story, right? This is not based on a game. So you could probably play the games and know more or less what's going on. So doing that kind of re-explaining, I think it's for the people who love Fatal Fury. They know the story, but they did not watch the OVAs. I think that kind of makes sense to me, at least.
Yeah, it just... But the fact that they do so much rehashing of the movie... makes me hesitant to say that it's great. It's definitely something that you should watch if you even tangentially like fighting games or game anime. This is something you should watch. It's a piece of history. Like you said, it was one of the first fighting games that really started the genre, and it evolved into King of Fighters, which is still going on, like its 5,000th game to this day. Like,
I mean, just keep... well. 15.
5,000. I don't know what those letters mean. They can mean anything.
But no, I mean, a new Fatal Fury is coming out. Garo, Mark of the Wolves 2. So that'll be... The last Fatal Fury game was like, what? Real Bout? I think it was like... No, it was Garo. I'm an idiot. Oh, no, I think actually it was a 3D game. I'm more of an idiot. But yeah, since the PS2. So it's cool that's coming back. So I'm excited for that for sure.
I will play it because Joe is probably going to be in it, and he's my child now. No, not my child. He's my baby.
He was getting in, weird. He wasn't. Hey, you said not me. I don't think he was in Garo. Garo had like Terry, and that was like it. Everyone else was like original. They replaced like. I mean, they might do it differently now, but A replaced.
If Joe
everyone.
Is not in it, I will literally fly to Japan and have a really good time there and not do anything terroristic because I don't want to get kicked out of Japan.
Just play King of Fighters with me. Play KOF 15. Let's do it.
I gotta buy another game.
I know. I gotta get all the DLC too. They're gonna have Kim and they're gonna have Shingo. Shingo's like
the samurai. Is that the Samurai Showdown guy?
No. Shingo is the Dan of KOF. So he's basically Kyo but goofy.
Well, they just announced recently that the Samurai Showdown main character is going to be a DLC.
Yes,
character,
it's
right?
going to be Nakaruru.
Like the first time they're all in the same game in like a very long time. Like I just remember people being like really freaked out about it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The Samurai Showdown came out a couple years ago, like a new one, and he was even in Soul Calibur. So
yeah, I remember him being in Soul Calibur.
It's been recent things. Like I said, Taomaru and Nakaruru, which was, it had a cameo in this movie. And then it's Darby, which I love Darby. Darby was a new one and new character in the last game. And then it was going to be Kim and Shingo, and that's like all we know right now. Oh, but it's like season two. End of season two. And then Kim and Shingo are season four?
Is Joe in the new King of Fighters game?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I will play it. I'm going to play it now. It's been decided.
Wait, is he? Oh, am I lying? I don't know. I think he is, yeah.
That will determine if I get the game.
Terry does have the Gara Mark of the Wolf costume, and I love it so much. That jacket's amazing.
So essentially, I think the conclusion that we've come to is that these are okay. They're not.
I would say good. I wouldn't say great. I would say good.
There's something that you definitely should be interested in going into it. It's not really something. It's something that takes a little bit of real world knowledge and experience to fully enjoy, because and I feel like that's the case with a lot of fighting game anime adaptations, because they have such a limited time, and fighting games, it's either feast or famine. Like, there's either no story at all, or there's a ridiculous amount of story that you could never fit into an anime because there's just so much crap happening. Because of the way that fighting games are segmented, and everybody, because most of the time you're playing solo going through an arcade mode, so you're getting one character story, and when there's a roster of like 15 characters, that's 15 different stories, and it doesn't work in like a television narrative. So there is some additional research required if you want to fully enjoy this, but I would say if you just want to casually get into it, just watch the movie, in my opinion. Like, unless you're just a real fan of the franchise, the OVAs aren't required viewing to the point to where you're going to be missing out on a whole lot. Unless you just really want to see the two big fights, the Geese fight and the Crowley fight, which are entertaining and are well done. Unless you just really want to see those, the movie, just cut straight to the movie, because the movie is where the meat is and where the characters really come into themselves, and they wear Speedos, especially, specifically.
More. I just don't like that Geese got knocked into a pond and got defeated. Even though in the game he gets knocked off a giant building, it's all dramatic. I'm like, eh.
But yeah, that kind of wraps up most of our thoughts, I feel like, on this. It's a fighting game anime. I don't mean to write it off like that, but I mean, that at its core, that's what it is. It's a fighting game anime that it's meant to supplement the games. It's not meant to be in place of the game. So the story is not always going to be as narratively cognizant as like a regular anime that's based off of a manga that already has a similar like story path, or a completely original movie or anime or whatever. It's never going to be the same because video game is such a different medium. So it's just that genre, but it's entertaining. It's got fantastic character designs. It's got fantastic animation, especially in the movie for the time, because this came out in the mid-90s, and the animation just looks great on it, to be honest with you. And it's Terry Bogard. What else can I say? Terry Bogard.
Terold Bogard.
What is Terry short for? I'm sure that's short for something.
I don't know. All I know is that one of my favorite fighting game YouTubers or streamers, he always calls him Terold. Terold, then he calls Kim just Kim's pants. They're like Kim's pants, that's DLC. He has such big pants. Anyway, I'm getting off topic.
Joe's name is just hot.
Hot?
It's just hot. So yeah, that kind of wraps up everything. Let's go ahead and shut things down. For anybody interested in learning more about Rika, promo yourself a little bit. What are you doing? Where can people find you?
Promo? What am I doing? Not like. You can find me, Rika is a cutie, like anywhere. I have that everywhere. I don't do a lot. I was working on some Magical Girl OCs, but that's kind of not happening right now. But you can find it on my Twitter, Rika is a cutie. I don't really do anything anymore. I used to do things. Now I don't.
Yeah, you watch tokusatsu occasionally.
Well, yeah, but I thought, like, people can, like, people can't find me and like, oh, watch my content. I do this or buy my bathwater.
They can
whatever.
Follow you on Twitter though. They can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, I said. I said Rika is a cutie. Okay. Check out my Magical Girl OCs.
Go follow Rika. Out of our core friends group, she has the least followers, which means that she's the biggest loser. So follow her. Boost that ego slightly.
Unfollow him. Unfollow him.
Don't unfollow me. My ego is so fragile.
I follow him.
As a matter of fact, not only don't unfollow me, but make an alt account and go follow me at Kamen Rider Furry.
No.
You can find me at Kamen Rider Furry on Twitter. I just started using my Instagram again, but my Instagram is my Twitter is kind of a catch-all for all of my fandoms that I'm into and my stupid random thoughts. But the Instagram is focused on my collectibles. I have a lot of anime, tokusatsu, video game, action figures. I collect certain dolls like Monster High and things like that. Yeah. So that is what my Instagram is focused on. So if that's interesting to you, go follow that. You can also follow the podcast at Ancient Anime Pod on both platforms as well, on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is a little bit more interactive. Instagram, I just post my terrible face edits for every episode. It's basically all I do on there because I'm really proud of my terrible Photoshop skills.
I can't and wait last, to see this one.
It's going to be a doozy. I'll probably make you my, probably. Or maybe I'll make you...
No. My. Gotta make me my, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I might make you Andy because there's a picture of Andy and Terry that I like.
okay.
But we'll see. But anyway, getting off topic once again. For my final thing though, if you have anything that you would like to have us review, if you have opinions on any older anime, it doesn't even necessarily have to be the topic that we're talking about. I would just love to hear from my fans. I would love to hear from fans of the podcast. You can email us at ancientanimepod@gmail.com as well for any of those thoughts, or if you have ideas on something you think we should review. I am always looking for ideas. There's so much anime out there, and it's really dependent on who I have on the episode. And sometimes all it takes for me to get somebody to want to pop in on the podcast is be like, hey, did you ever watch, you know, XYZ as a kid? And it just opens the floodgates. So feel free to email anything you want to that email except for pornography, because I don't want to get banned from any platforms. So thank you so much for joining us all today. And once again, I am Kamen Rider Furry, and this is my friend Rika joining me. I hope you guys all have a great and wonderful day. Thank you.
Bye.